Well, hi everyone. Here it is, the 4th of April, and it's Thursday night. Friday night. Gee, you know, I lose track of time so much that I have to just about check my calendar. It must be the 5th of April. I think I dated everything the 4th, though. Yeah, today's the 5th of April. I went out and checked the plan of the day to be sure, and it is Friday. I just came from Mass. Father offered Mass for Dr. Martin Luther King. We got the word today that he was killed. Of course, we got the word earlier this week that the president wasn't going to run, and someone said something about Humphrey's running. And, well, anyhow, you know, we only get bits and pieces of news. I'm going to get a transistor so that a small one. I could have brought my German transistor over with me, but, of course, I didn't. But, so that I can get some of the news. We're still in Da Nang. We haven't moved from up to Dong Ha. And we still haven't set sail for Subic, but we're supposed to next Wednesday. So this will be this weekly tape, and if you don't get one next week, you'll just know it's because I'm in Subic. Maybe I'll be able to make one out to you, but if not, then I'll make it on the way back. We have 3 days off, and there are four of us that have 3 days off together, and we hope to get a car and go to Manila. You can rent a car and a driver for very little money at Subic, so we're all looking forward to that, and everyone's talking about going now. You know, they're sort of over their slump. I think I told you in the last tape that originally we were supposed to stay here for 10 more days, or rather our time had been volunteered for 10 more days because of the big push that was expected the 1st of April. I forget the code name for it. And they felt that we would be needed. The sanctuary took our place up at Dong Ha. And if you recall, we were terribly busy at Dong Ha, just, oh, every day. And we came back to Da Nang, and it's just been quite a relief. We haven't had flight quarters in about 15 hours, and we haven't had any casualties, you know, fresh casualties. I mean, they bring on operative cases and all, but we haven't had any fresh casualties in, oh, gee, about 24, I guess, and maybe 36. So that we're all kind of pleased about that. I had the duty last night and slept all night long, which was, a break. I guess it was the night before I had the duty. I have the duty tomorrow night, too. But, we're all quite pleased that we don't have to that we are quiet. Just a second. Gee, when I play this tape back, I can really hear the sound of the air conditioning and all on the ship in the back. Someone's going to try to record the sounds of the ship on their tape recorder and then let us tape from it, you know, now hear this and all the messages. I think you'd get a kick out of it, the bosun's whistle and all the things. Flight quarters, but it's been kind of a pleasant respite, I guess you'd say. Now, if our source of information is true, and we don't have any real big source of information, but if it's true, our troops are moving, clearing that Highway 9 to Quezon, and that's where they expected all of the trouble, and we expected to take many more casualties than we've been taking. And the Viet Cong have all disappeared from that area. So, of course, we have much apprehension because everyone feels, well, maybe they're gone from this area right now, but they might be gone from here. But where are they? And a lot of people think that when they reach the northern tip of Quezon, that they're there, and other people think they've gone to Hue and are trying to recapture the ancient capital. As a matter of fact, I think that probably you'll know more about that than I do, and we'll probably get the word faster than we do about, except if we get loads of casualties. So we're sitting in the harbor anyhow. Of course, there's a usual amount of grumbling because they say here we're sitting and we're not doing anything, but we'll be getting underway and we're going to Subic next week. And that's the latest. Of course, you might get a tape from me next week and say, well, the big push started, so we didn't go to Subic. But we'll see what happens anyway. I'm looking forward to it. of course, because, gee, you know, I'll be on board a month by the time the ship... I'll be on board the ship a month the day it gets underway, which means I've been on the line a month. And because we get underway around the 12th and, or the 11th. So I'll be just on board about a month. And it's a month that's gone by awfully quickly. The last flight quarters that we had were 2 days, well, the last flight quarters that I had the duty, I really wasn't on duty, but the night nurse came and got me up and asked me if I would come down. They had three casualties come in at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I was getting up anyway, and I went down, and there were two Korean Marines. Apparently they have a fairly good fighting force over here that fight, because we get casualties from them fairly regularly, and also from the South Vietnamese, not as much. And it's surprising to me, too, the number of Puerto Rican and Mexican, or Mexican-Americans, casualties that we get in. I suppose I'm particularly aware of it because I notice the name and usually talk to them. Sometimes it gives me a chance to practice my Spanish. And like today, I had a kid in from the Bronx, and he was Puerto Rican, and his name was Iglesias. So we chatted away, you know, and he'd been in Madrid and Valencia when he was on a Mediterranean cruise. And of course, we talked about New York, and we talked about everything. He'd been hit by shrapnel in the groin. I was being done for that. He was fine, though. He's a nice kid. He's due to rotate back to the States in August. That's very important with the Marines, you know, when they're due to go home. He's hoping to get an R&R in Japan, though, so he's been taking correspondence lessons from Japan. He'd been up in Kaesan from the middle of November until March when he got hit. The early part of March he was hit. A shrapnel wound. Well, anyhow, that night we got two Korean Marines, and one was a head case. I don't know how he made out. And the other one was a, he had multiple shrapnel wounds, you know. That's what most of them come in with. Because of the type of apparatus they set up, which I'll tell you a little bit more about, but anyhow, one American Marine, 18-year-old kid who had the lower half of his face blown off. And, you know, I've seen a lot of bad jaws because I used to scrub a lot in Chicago on head and neck surgery. So actually a lot of this mutilating stuff isn't as traumatic to me as it is to some of the younger kids, certainly. And this kid just lost the whole lower half of his face. There was just nothing, no jawbone or anything. But they took him in and debrided it and then sewed it back up together. And we'll send him out to the States. And with plastic surgery and all, they'll build him a new lower jaw and teeth and everything. It'll take about 2 to 3 years. But he won't be in the hospital all this time. He'll be able to go home. But it's kind of hard just the same to look at them and, you know, to realize. He's a good patient. He never complained at all. None of them ever complained. And, you know, I used to be pretty tolerant, I thought, and pretty liberal towards all these peace movements in the United States and the peacenecks. I never was terribly tolerant towards the draft dodgers, but I at least felt that if they feel the war is immoral and unjust and everything, that they have a right to express their opinion, and after all, that's what it's all about. But I'm rapidly losing that. Each day out here makes me almost, become bitter about them, but I certainly have no love for them. I can't understand how they can feel the way they do, or how, well, of course, I suppose it's ignorance, but, and that's all there is to it, but if they were out here for a week, I really don't see how they could be, you know, just protesters and calling these people, the Americans, killers and all this business. They just don't know what it's all about. And if they did, Well, maybe they do the same thing, you know. Some of them are... Anyhow, I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but I find it awfully hard to be tolerant to them. And I suppose the best thing to do is just ignore it. But I find that a lot of people out here feel the same way. They, you know, we're talking about peace movements, and they really feel that a lot of these people like Spock and Joan Baez and all that bunch of crackpots are really prolonging the war because they're comforting the enemy. Of course, all of us have heard about the peace overtures, and that we heard that President Johnson was coming to Hawaii, and that there's a possibility of Hanoi talking, but we also heard there was some mix-up in the translation. And, you know, none of us, and I haven't been out here that long, but none of us believe it, truthfully, because nobody out here trusts them. And we think it's just giving them another chance. Of course, a lot of people think maybe that the bombing cessation of Hanoi and Haiphong has made it, that's why we're not getting so many casualties, but most everybody feels it's just they're waiting. Like they pull their Tet offensive, that they'll pull something big in the spring. And we just think that April and May will catch it. Of course, you don't mind working, you really don't. And when you're busy, you're very busy. And there's no let up. But it's nice not to be busy, because the time doesn't pass as quickly, but at least when you're not getting casualties and you know that people aren't getting hit. The sanctuary is supposed to come into the harbor too, but she hasn't as yet. As far as some of the wounds are concerned, some of the type of wounds that we get here, most everybody has multiple shrapnel wounds and multiple fragmentations, either from mortars or from, they'll take a round, which means that, like a bullet, you know, and or rockets. And what the Vietnamese do is pack these things, these bombs and these mines and everything, with feces, with human waste material, so that when they go off, if there's a possibility that the individual might possibly survive the wound from the blast of the gunfire or whatever, it's certain to get infected. It's absolutely positive to get infected, because it has all that human waste, and that's what a lot of the kids die from. I guess you'd call that germ warfare. Of course, the soil is dirty and everything, but like last month's cases, 3 to 1, three cases to every one case that we did was a contaminated or a dirty case that had all these organisms in it. And which meant the patient was infected, and takes forever to clean up all the antibiotics in the world, it seems. It's just a hard thing. So, of course, there's no love lost for the VC here as far as how they do things. We had a little kid in yesterday. No, today we did him. And, he has a tracheotomy tube, which doesn't mean anything to you, I know, but his whole inside from his neck down is completely destroyed. And so they had to build him a new throat, is what they had to do. So in the case of the Vietnamese children, they usually ask them to please get their parents to sign a consent, because we do a lot of Vietnamese kids. And the parents, they couldn't get the parents to sign consent slip, and they got the kid had an uncle who was a major in the ARVN, which is the South Vietnamese Army, but he couldn't be located. So the parents are in a village about 15 miles from Da Nang, but it's a Viet Cong village, which means that the parents are Viet Cong, and so that the troops couldn't go there to get the consent slip signed. So the commanding officer of that army unit, the nearest by that sent this kid out to us, had to give his permission, say that it would be all right to operate on this child. You just wouldn't believe, you know. A lot of the kids we get from the Vietnamese orphanage, they call it Yusan, And chaplains and doctors or corpsmen, anybody's going by there and they see these people and they think the ship can help them, so they ship them out to us. And some of them are pretty pretty sad cases, and they do a great deal for them, for the children and for everyone. And we have two interpreters of what I think I told you, Sergeant Sam, who left the ship on leave.